All right, so big things happening in the car market right now. As you know, I'm a used car dealer. I go to a lot of these used car dealer auctions. I get to see things happen in real time, and we're seeing prices come down. I actually bought 21 cars in the last week. We haven't been able to do that in a very, very long time. And in this video, towards the end, I'm actually going to tell you what I bought, what I paid for them, and what we're going to sell them for on our lots. Today's video is sponsored by Surfshark. But more about that later. Let's get into really what's going on in the car market right now. So, as you know, we've gone through this time, spring selling season, tax refund season was very, very busy, and prices went up during that time. And then we came out of that time, and what we hit is this lull from actually selling cars at these car auctions. And really what I mean by that is that selling dealers, these franchise dealers that get these trade-ins, they were still used to getting high prices. So there's this time period that happens every single year where there's just no sale after no sale after no sale, and it happens for weeks. And it's just because that these franchise dealers were able to pay higher for trade-ins because they knew on the wholesale level, especially during tax time, they're able to get more money out of these trade-ins. But all that stops when tax time ends, when you get the money that just flushes out of the system. Then what happens is the appetite from the buy inside dealers like me, the small independent dealers, really goes away because we get slower. We fill up our lot with cars we probably paid too much for. Not me. I'm saying dealers as a whole. I'm smart enough to know that this happens every single year, but a lot of dealers, they don't prepare like this. What happens is a lot of these dealers start not going to the auctions because they don't need to. They have enough cars and they don't want to pay these crazy prices that still hang around at the auctions for about a month, month and a half after tax time hits. And so what that causes is it causes a standoff between independent dealers like myself and the new franchise dealers, because the new franchise dealers are still holding on to hope that they can get a lot of money out of their cars. And it turns out they don't get the bids that they're expecting. So they no sell it because they think next week maybe it's going to bring more money. But there's a saying in the auction world, it's first money, best money. And these franchise dealers know that. For whatever reason, I don't know why they don't just dump these cars. It's probably because they have too much in it and they traded for too much on these cars because they thought they're going to be able to turn them around at auction for a profit. And it ends up not being the case. So we go through this 3-4 week period. If you've watched my main channel, you've seen a lot of these auction videos where I show, I mean, there was a Jeep there that was there for 4 weeks in a row, and then it left the auction, and then it came back and was there for another 6 to 8 weeks because it just would no sell, no sell, no sell, no sell. And it's absolutely ridiculous that these franchise dealers won't just let go of these cars, but this is just the time of the year. This is what happens. We go through this time period, no sales happen, and it seems like all of a sudden, these franchise dealers, you're like, I'm tired of looking at these cars that are going through the lane and I'm no selling them. And then they just cut bait with them. And I think over the last 2 weeks, that's what we have experienced. And that's what I've seen at my dealership. And that's what I've seen from what I've been able to buy at these dealer auctions. Myself, Alex is my mechanic. He buys a lot of cars for us. He actually buys most of the cars for us. But we're seeing right now at the auction, these dealers are letting go of the cars and we're able to go in and buy. So what I anticipate is going to happen in the market from here is we're going to see this kind of whoosh down in your wholesale data. And I'm telling you this now because this is what I see on the ground, and the data is always going to lag what I'm seeing at the auction in real time. So your Cox Automotive data, it's going to lag what I'm seeing right now. So I anticipate a month from now, we're going to see this big, we're already seeing a downtrend, but I think the curve is going to be more dramatic is what I'm trying to say. The problem is for you as a retail customer, though, is that the retail side of things, when prices move on the retail side, it's not as quickly as what I see on the wholesale side. The franchise dealers can just decide 1 week, okay, we're done looking at it, let's get rid of everything, and then the prices plummet, right? That's what we're seeing over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And it doesn't happen like that on the retail side, because what will happen is dealers like myself will go in and they'll buy these cars for ridiculously good deals. Now, me, I'm going to mark my car up based on what I paid for it and not necessarily what the car is worth. Other dealers aren't like that. They're going to go in, they're going to be able to get good deals at the auction right now. And it's going to take them, they're going to think that they can get the same money for that car that they just bought today as what they could get for it a month ago. And it's not going to be the case, because there are dealers out there that move with the market like myself. And we will push the market down, because those dealers who are not moving with the market, they'll find that they're priced out of the market, and they'll become dead, and they won't be able to move their vehicles, because everybody shops online right now. So if one dealer down the street has something very similar to another dealer that's right down the street, and this dealer is $1,500 higher, that customer is not going to that dealership that has the higher price on that car. So that's going to force a lot of these dealers to start lowering their prices. But it's not going to be a quick transition. You're still going to take month to months to have this actually move through the system where you can see it on the retail side. I like to use the example of like the housing market. This is the way that dealers will think. So they might price a car at $10,000. They think that that's what the car is worth. And then they'll go through a month where they don't get any leads on it. They don't get test drives. The car doesn't sell. So maybe the car is only worth $8,000, but that dealer hasn't found that out yet. So what they'll do is they'll mark that car down $500 after that month. So now it's $9,500 on their lot. But that car is still only worth $8,000 to a consumer that wants to buy it. But that dealer has to take the time to figure out where that price point is. So they'll go through another month. They'll pay their floor plan fee on it, and then they'll drop it another $500. So now they're down to $9,000. But guess what? That car is still only worth $8,000. And in the meantime, wholesale prices are going down. Car prices, car values are going down. So that car that was worth $8,000 2 months ago, you know what? Maybe it's only worth $7,500. So now that dealer is even further behind the eight ball whenever they're trying to find the right price point. And it's very difficult because of how volatile the car market has been in the last 2 to 3 years for a lot of these dealers to get with the program, right? Because we've gone out of this golden age. Everything that a dealer touches, they're able to sell it for a profit. It doesn't matter what they have to do to it. There's still a lot of dealers in that camp where they're not figuring out, okay, this is what a normal market's supposed to look like. We get spikes from tax time, and then the market crashes. And I use that word crash. I mean, but it's a literal crash of wholesale prices every single year that happens right after tax time. That's what we experience now. And there's going to be this slow churn just throughout the summer of prices going down. That's what happens in a normal car market. This is going to be the first year in about 4 years that we're going to see the market act like it's supposed to. Prices, don't get me wrong, prices are still greatly elevated, and they're going to stay that way for a while. But as we get this slow churn down, as we get this this trend down that we're on right now, and then you get these little bumps where, okay, there's going to be a whoosh down over the last couple of weeks because franchise dealers are saying, okay, you know what, we traded too high for these cars. We got to come loose. You're going to get those little stair step downs. You're going to get those little stair steps throughout the market. But overall, it's going to be your downtrending line, and it's going to continue. And prices are probably never getting back to where they were in 2019. But even if all the craziness didn't happen, prices would still be higher right now than where they were in 2019. It's just what happens with vehicles, what happens with price points of any goods or anything. It's just inflation. Inflation happens. But I'm going to tell you about some of the cars that I bought and what I paid for them in just a second. But I want to thank our sponsor today, Surfshark. Surfshark is your trusted companion for navigating the online world securely. Surfshark isn't just any VPN. It's your key to a safer, more private internet experience. With Surfshark, you can browse the web with confidence, knowing that your online activities are protected from prying eyes. It's like wearing a mask for your online identity, keeping your personal information safe and secure. With Surfshark, you can virtually travel the world with just one click, accessing content from any corner of the globe. But what sets Surfshark apart is how easy it is to use. Whether you're a tech whiz or you hate computers, Surfshark's intuitive interface makes it simple to stay safe online. Surfshark offers 24/7 support, ensuring that help is always available whenever you need it. Plus, with Surfshark's clean web feature, you can say goodbye to annoying ads and malicious websites, ensuring a smoother and safer browsing experience. Don't let your online adventures be limited by restrictions or privacy concerns. Take control with Surfshark and surf the web with confidence. Secure your privacy with Surfshark. Enter code CQALIVE for an extra 4 months at the link below and get started on your journey to a safer internet today. And we've got a link for you down in the description below to be able to enter that code in. So check it out in the description below. We want to thank Surfshark again for sponsoring this video. So let's get to some of the cars that we bought over the last week. I know you guys love to see what we pay for them, and I try to be as transparent as possible. So I'm even going to tell you what we're going to be potentially selling them for on our lot. And it's barring any kind of major repairs or anything that we have to do. Obviously, when we go to the auction, we try to check them out as well as we can. Alex is my mechanic, and he goes there, and he's one of my buyers. He is my buyer. It's me and him that buys cars, but he is my main buyer for these cars. And he knows what has to be fixed for the most part on all these cars before we even buy them. But there's still that element of the gamble of something that we're going to miss. And it just happens. But anyway, we bought a 1999 Jeep Cherokee. We paid $2,600 for it. It's probably going to be a $3,500, $4,000 car, depending on how nice it is. I do think we paid a little bit too much for that. I hope it's a square body, actually. I haven't seen this one yet. I really like those square bodies, the inline sixes. You can't kill those things. And just another little tidbit about all these prices. So these are what we paid at auction for the cars. We're also going to have a buyer fee on top of that. Just for an example, on this Jeep Cherokee, we paid $285 in our buyer fees. Yes, buyer fees are very, very expensive, and a seller is going to have a seller fee too. So these auctions are making money on both ends. And in my opinion, the buyer fees are pretty high, and they've risen over the last 4 years greatly. I would say on that $2,600 car, it probably used to be somewhere around like $175 to $185 is what we would pay to buy that car. So yeah, inflation's hitting us on like services like auction fees too. This one's a funny one. It's a 2002 Saturn. It says S series. So it's like a S100, whatever. These are the ugliest cars ever made, but this one's only got 90,000 miles. And here's why we even look at those cars and buy them is because they're just little Cavaliers. They're actually really good cars. There's some few little things that are common that will break on them, but they actually ran for a very long time. They're ugly. They're hideous, but we're not buying this car for someone who wants a good looking car. We're buying this for someone who wants a little point A to point B car. We paid $1,800 for it. Again, it's only got 90,000 miles. It'll be $3,000 is what we'll post it for, but I think we paid a little bit too much for that. It's probably going to be a $2,500 car just because of how it doesn't matter if it had 1 mile on it. It's still a Saturn, and it still looks like it looks. So it's probably a $2,500 car, and it's not going to be any better than that. A 2006 Nissan Pathfinder. That's what I put in the thumbnail, the little picture that is on the title screen for what you clicked on to get into this video. We only paid $1,300 for that. So that's going to be a $2,500 car for somebody. I think that's going to be a great deal for someone. I can't believe we got it that cheap. 2009. Let me go back to that. There's prices that move all around, and usually dealers know about what a car should go for, but all the time there's cars that fall through the cracks, and we do a good job, and Alex in particular does a good job of checking all of these cars out and having a massive list of cars that that he wants to bid on, and even if it's no matter what it is, his long list lets us be able to catch these cars that might fall through the cracks. So there's a lot of dealers that don't check out cars before they buy them. They literally walk into the auction lane And if it's a four lane auction, like what this one is, then they're going to miss something. If they don't have notes, they don't track the cars that they want to bid on. And this is why we, I think, do a really good job and are able to buy the cars that we buy and sell them as cheaply as we do, is because when we're at an auction, there's not a car that falls through the crack. If it does, we're the ones that buy it. And I think we're very good at that. But 2009 Hyundai Elantra, we paid $1,900 for it, $3,000 car. 2011 Ford Escape, we paid $1,900 for that also, $3,000. 2011 Jeep Cherokee, $2,600 for it. It'll be $3,500, $4,000 car, depending on how nice it is. A 2015 Chevy Traverse. Now, it's rare for us to buy things that are like 2014 and up because of the niche that we're in. I want to sell cars that are $5,000 and under. And so typically that limits us to like 2013, 2014 and under cars, because we're just not able to buy them cheap enough to be able to sell them at our price point. So this is another one that just stuck through the cracks and we were able to get it. But it's a 2015 Chevy Traverse. We paid $2,900 for it. It's going to be a $4,500 car on our lot. And if it's really, really, really nice, we might be able to get $5,000 out of it, but, it just depends on how good it is. But the next one's a 2004 Honda Civic. Love buying those older Civics. They run forever and they're good cars. You don't have a lot of problems with them. Every once in a while, there'll be a motor mount issue. That's one of the most common things with those cars, but we don't run into them, a lot, any kind of problems. Those are usually cars that we buy, clean them up, they're ready to go. Only pay $1,500 for it. It'll be $2,500 car. 2012 Ford Edge, pay $1,900 for it. $3,000 car for us. 2012 GMC Acadia, $1,800, be a $3,000 car for us. A 2016 Ford Escape. That's another one I'm surprised that we were able to get. The thing about the newer Ford Escapes, and really all the newer Ford in general, and when I say newer for us, it's like 2014 or 2015 and up on the Fords. You have to worry about transmissions a little bit. But what I like about Ford and their computer system is that if their transmission does have any kind of issues, they're very quick to throw a code. And we have code readers that we use. We hook up to the OBD2 ports, the little connector that's under the dash, and it'll spit back if there's any kind of problems that that the computer recognizes. And one thing that is great about Ford, for us at least, checking is transmission codes are usually very fast to show on a Ford. There's a lot of other brands like a Chevy. Chevy is a good example, a GMC, that if it's got a bad transmission problem, like it could have a gear that's just ripped out of it, and it's not going to throw a transmission fault code. And those are ones where we can actually get really burnt because we can't know that the transmission is bad before we buy it. We don't drive these cars before we buy them. They literally, they're parked at an auction lot in a parking spot. And we check them out as best we can while they're sitting still. We'll check forward, reverse. But that's about the extent of the transmission that we can manually check. So we rely a lot on our scanners, our little computers, to be able to give us data showing issues. And Ford is one of those brands that will tell us if the transmission's bad. So that's why we're okay buying Ford Escapes, the newer Ford like Fusions, stuff like that, that are notorious for transmission problems, but they're going to let us know as soon as we get in there to look at them. Paid $2,600 for that Escape. If I didn't say it early, $4,000 car. 2015 GMC Acadia. It's got We paid $2,500 for it. It'll be $3,500, $4,000, depending on how nice it is. And I'm just going to burn through these next cars. So 2005 Honda Civic, $2,500, $3,500 car for us. 2006 Nissan Xterra. Pay $2,000 if it's really nice, $3,500, but probably $3,000 is where we'll settle on it. 2007 Chevy Equinox, another that we buy a lot of Equinoxes. I actually like those. I don't like a ton of Chevy products, especially in the older, smaller versions. Like the cars are not great, like the Malibus, we have some issues with. We buy them every once in a while, but the Chevy Equinox is one that we'll buy quite a bit. $2,300. We'll sell it for $3,500. A 2007 Dodge Caravan, paid $1,800 for it. Probably a $3,000 car. A 2009 Toyota Prius. We've started buying more Prius lately, so I don't like buying a lot of hybrids in our price range and with the miles that we've got to buy them for, because and the batteries, we don't want to have to replace the battery. It's going to be the cost of almost the car in a lot of situations. So like Honda Accord, hybrids, we stay away from those. But Prius, for whatever reason, though, that Toyota did the right thing on those batteries. Like, I've never had to replace a Prius battery. It seems like they go for absolute ever. And it might be that maybe with the mileage that I'm buying, maybe the battery's already been replaced, and that's why we never run into it. But it just seems like the Prius, Toyota did it right with the Prius. I lost my place. 2009 Prius, $2,000. That's all we paid for it. It'll be $3,000, $3,500 car. I think that's a good deal. A 2011 Hyundai Sonata, $2,200. It'll be a $3,500 car. Another 2011 Hyundai Sonata. We run into this a lot where we'll buy the same exact kind of car at the same auction, and it happens more than more. But the reason why it happens is because we buy the same kind of cars all the time. $2,100 is what we paid for it. $3,500, $3,000, somewhere around there. A 2012 Hyundai Veracruz. Veracruz, I'm blanking on what that even is. I think it's the small SUV, maybe. I don't know. Somebody put it in the comments. I'll look it up after that. But I'm blanking on what a Veracruz is right now. But we pay $2,100, $3,500 car for us, and a 2015 Chevy Impala with 160,000 miles. We pay $2,700. That's a good deal. Yeah. So that'll be probably $4,000. That might be $4,500. Actually, because we got that. That's a real good deal for us. And I like buying Impalas. They seem to do very well for us. I took too much time with this. So thank you for watching. Please subscribe to the channel, and like this video. And I really appreciate you guys hanging out with us today.